bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Now we're back at Camden Yards, and, the Orioles tonight trying to end a three-game losing streak. Last night they were swept in that three-game set against the Boston Red Sox. Game last night, Chris Sale, he was no bargain. Sale, again, just one strike away from getting in the history books. Ryan Flaherty trying to prevent it with a count of two balls and two strikes. Sale's got 12 strikeouts tonight as he delivers, and Flaherty takes a call, strike three. And there it is. Chris Sale in the history books. He becomes the 14th pitcher in the history of the game to have a 300 strikeout season. How about that? Sale pretty good last night. And Buck Showalter, his thoughts on Chris Sale when we continue with the Geico Manager's Report right after this.
Rockabotka with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's Manager's Report, the Red Sox completed a sweep last night. Chris Sale, 8 scoreless, got his 300 strikeout. Buck, I mean, how impressive is that accomplishment? I know the strikeouts are up, but still, for a guy to get 300 in one season.
Well, obviously, they're going to be in the playoffs, and I guess they thought it was pretty important for him to pitch the 8th inning and get it last night. So, you know, he was he had great stuff. We knew that runs were going to be at a premium, and much like Pomerantz, you know, they're able to empty their bullpen in the games before those two guys. They know it's going to be a long outing, and it's a great advantage for him. But the thing that's really put him at another level is the changeup. You know, he's so much more than a – and on those rare occasions when he's not carrying that late-life fastball, he's able to defend himself and make you think about some other things. So it's a guy that you can't try to think – 2 to 3 pitches. You got to commit to one, hope you get it in the right spot.
Look, the club right now, a stretch of no runs in 26 innings. How much of that is just the fact that it's kind of a collective slump, and how much of it is that the level of pitching that you guys have been facing on a nightly basis?
Well, I'm always going to look at ourselves. We were in the mirror. You know, we would beat good pitchers when you don't ever really open them up, but, you know, we create some situations for us. So it's been a combination. I think it's as much us as it is the pitching we're facing.
Tanner Scott made his major league debut last night, gave up the 2 runs, but he got a strikeout on a slider, 3 straight sliders that he threw for strikes. How important was that to you to see him be able to do that? Because obviously he's going to need the secondary pitches.
Well, you know, if you felt like he was going to have command of that fastball, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But I think up here they can turn around a bullet. And got this. I think what people miss is a strength factor. Like the first base hit he gave, you know, most of the time in the minor leagues that's an easy fly ball to second base, but he fists it out over the infield. And so, you know, there's a lot of guys that throw hard. It's obviously the command's a big issue. It's also, you know, the finish on their ball. Like you see Severino for the Yankees, it looks like he's throwing 98 to 100, and it's got late life. It's a heavy ball. And then you can see some guys that throw 98 to 100 that it what they call it's light. It's a light fastball. So, you know, the slider would be a big pitch for him, and there's so much unknown there. But I thought he handled himself pretty well, all things considered, the emotion he had to have going through his body.
Rockabotko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, as far as the rotation goes, you've got the 3 confirmed starters for this series so far. What factors come into play when you kind of try and figure out who you're going to send out there for the remaining however many games you're going to have left this year?
Well, the competition this season dictates a lot of things. The most important thing is the health. You know, we're waiting. Dylan's going to have a light work day and see how that goes before we commit to Sunday one way or the other. And we're going to continue to take each day as it comes and try to do what's best for the organization long term. That's just it's as simple as that.
What's the latest with Zach Britton?
He's going to have the stem cell injection tomorrow here at the ballpark, and then he'll be 3 to 5 days before we'll make a decision whether he's going to pitch again. There's some positive to him throwing a little bit more before he leaves on a good note.
And how are Manny Machado and Tim Beckham today?
Beck still got some bleeding. Those have had the wisdom teeth out, especially one that's abscess. They had to go in there, and obviously pretty deep, and he it broke off. He's still got some bleeding in the socket, and a lot of activity could start that bleeding again. So he potentially is available tonight, but just don't like him running around for 9 innings. Manny is a little better today. We got him in lineup now. We're going to see how BP goes. If he doesn't feel a little bit better after moving around, then we may have to change that.
And finally, the Rays are starting Matt Andreese. This is his first appearance against you guys this year. What's the word on him?
Another reverse split, neutral guy. You know, their whole organization, if you run through their, you know, what, 70 pitchers tonight? No, really, I think it's like 20. Three-fourths of them will have neutral to reverse splits. It's an organizational thing they do where they pitch up a lot with their fastball. That they always have a changeup or a split where they change eye level. So you really don't gain much of an advantage of running a bunch of left-hand hitters out there, even though we couldn't with the way our rosters are set up.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Tonight, Tampa Bay in town, first of a four-game series. And the warm-up show coming up next when a couple of New Jersey boys get together on the Orioles Radio Network.
At Oriole Park at Camden Yards, it is a summer-like evening, Orioles and Tampa Bay Rays. And in the remaining games for the Orioles, you're going to get a good look at some of the prospects' September call-ups, including pitchers who have been here and sent down and brought back, including Jimmy Yacobonis, who got in the game last night. Jimmy Yacobonis up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles homestand continues tonight, game one of a four-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. And as the Orioles play these remaining games, the present and the future has come together, including Jimmy Yacobonis, who is with the Orioles for a third time this year. And, Jimmy, I want to go back to spring training because that's really where you got on the radar, so to speak. Going back to the camp where you were brought over several times to pitch, what did that experience do for you to set yourself up for the season?
It definitely made me more comfortable and got to it, introduce me to like all the guys on the team and whatnot, and kind of get a little conversation going amongst the guys and myself. But for the most part, it's hard to simulate the regular season compared to spring training. So I mean, even though it was big league spring training compared to minor league spring training, it was still spring training. So I mean, it definitely helped me acquaint myself with some of the guys, but it's hard to really simulate a big league experience for the first time.
Okay, and then you go down to AAA Norfolk, and I think it's fair to say you had a dominant year there. I was looking at your numbers. I mean, anytime you have an ERA of 1.32 over a full season, to me that's dominant. What did the spring training experience translate into when you went into the season? AAA has a lot of experienced hitters, many that feel they should be in the big leagues and they're not.
I went into spring training and just worked on getting that second secondary pitch over, which is the slider, which is still a work in progress. I learned it this spring. So and really just working and staying ahead of guys. I like to like force a lot of ground balls and keep the ball down in the zone. Usually when I elevate is when I get in trouble. I like to keep the ball down. So going from spring training and seeing I can do it against those type of hitters, I thought, well, those are probably the same guys that are going to be in AAA. So I think I can do it in AAA too. And then proved to myself I could do it there. Pitched with a lot of confidence all year. A lot of it's pitching with confidence. You got to pitch like everyone sees it. Fans, people, whoever's watching the game, they can see the confidence you show. So it's a lot of it's body language too.
When you first got called up, you got into three games in June, four runs in three and a third innings, but you got the taste. Was that an overwhelming experience for you? Obviously, you're prepared physically and baseball-wise, but that's a big jump first time to the big leagues.
Absolutely. I got thrown right into the fire with a hot team in New York right off the bat, and didn't go as well as I thought it should have. Threw a couple close pitches that I didn't really get, but for the most part, it was just one of those things that you just got to make yourself feel comfortable. It was almost like I wasn't playing baseball. It was kind of just like out there just throwing, you know. And now I'm starting to get comfortable out there. I'm starting to read hitters better and able to make pitches and really feel comfortable and hit my spots.
Was that debut at Yankee Stadium, was there any extra pressure? Here you're from New Jersey. You grew up 47 miles from Yankee Stadium, and you're making your major league debut in that ballpark. Was that on your mind as you took the mound?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's definitely something that gets your nerves going a little bit. And it was during the seventh inning stretch, too, so they played God Bless America. So that was a little nerve-wracking, but had a lot of family there. And for that being the first time, looking back on it now, like I feel like I could be comfortable in any situation now after that being the first time.
All right, so then you get sent back after June. You come up and you make one appearance in July, go right back down, continue to work on things, and now you've been back since September. And you pitched really well since you come back. ERA of one, your first major league win, then you won another one, so you have two. What are you doing now that is leading to the better success that maybe you had to work on to get you to this point?
It's just about getting reps out there, out on like the big league stage, and just getting comfortable. Like now that I know that I could do it, and now that I feel comfortable doing it, and I can make pitches in certain counts. Like last night, like I thought I pitched pretty well, but I mean I just made a couple bad pitches. Left one ball up to Mookie, and then left a slider to like, one of the best slider hitters in the league right over the plate, and he just slapped it up the middle. You know, so I mean it's stuff like that, like. I'm definitely more comfortable. I thought yesterday was the most comfortable I've been out there. Even though I gave up a run, I felt great. So, I mean, I just moving forward from here on out.
Is that one of the differences that you've noticed? You made a really good point about the slider and Mookie Betts. Up here, they tend to not miss mistakes. They also know how to take that pitch just off the corner that maybe a minor league hitter might go after.
Absolutely. But, I mean, like you said before, in AAA, there's a lot of guys with experience down there, too. So I was getting the guys out that have a ton of time down there. Like we had guys on our team with 6-7 years of experience down in AAA. So, I mean, I think it's just a matter of really executing the pitch and finishing the pitches like I was doing in AAA, and then it should be pretty smooth from there.
All right, now I know projecting to next year, you'll do whatever they ask of you if you're in the big league bullpen, but I did notice 5 of your 11 appearances here have been more than one inning. Is that a role that you think you can thrive in, where you go in for the inning and two-thirds to bridge a gap, or 2 innings, or maybe even 2 1/3 or 3 to get from the starter to the back end of the bullpen?
I definitely think so. I mean, at the beginning of my career in Delmarva and when I was in college as well, I was kind of limited to what I could do. I was mostly like a back end guy that could just throw hard, and I was just a closer, a shut up man. But now I feel like I'm can kind of fill all those roles. I could probably go in there and throw 2 or 3 if they need me to. Need be a long man, or pretty, like you said, bridge the gap, or even set up. Or I feel like I could even close. It's all a matter of just going out there and being comfortable and staying consistent.
Well, in 7 September games since coming back from AAA, Yakabonis is 2-0, and he's allowed just one run in 9 innings. So certainly a big year for experience from the 25-year-old in his first big league season. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards in the win column tonight. It was all about some early run productions. Manny Machado with a big 2-run home run in the bottom of the first inning. And then Trey Mancini, an RBI single in that same opening frame. And, little did we know at the time that for the Orioles, that would be all the scoring they would do. Remember, when the game started, they had gone 26 consecutive innings without scoring a run. Well, tonight they got 3 in the first, and then the next 7, they got nothing. But tonight it was enough, as they win the ballgame 3-1 because Gabriel Inoa was outstanding tonight in a starting capacity. Inoa, 8 innings, gave up 1 run. He allowed 5 hits, 1 walk, he had 3 strikeouts. And he got it done tonight on just 94 pitches. So he was outstanding. Did a good job of throwing strikes. Now, Tampa Bay is a team that is last in the league with regard to a team batting average. And they do strike out quite a bit. They lead the American League in strikeouts. But at the same time, Tampa Bay is a very dangerous team because they are 7th in the major leagues in hitting home runs. So Inoa was outstanding tonight as he gets back in the win column. And by the way, for Inoa, his first victory as a starting pitcher in the major leagues. And right away, Inoa gave up a double to the leadoff hitter, Malik Smith. And then Duda came up. He drew a base on balls. But then Longoria came up. He singled to put runners on first and third with only one out. And Logan Morrison came up to hit. And that's when Inoa found maybe his best friend. Ground ball, double play ball to Scope. There's the feed to J.J. and the Hardy relay to get the double play. There you go, 4-6-3. So Inoa, despite giving up a gift double and then a walk and then a single, he throws only 15 pitches to get 3 outs, thanks to his best friend that he found. That's the double play. So Tampa Bay came up empty. In the bottom of the first inning, Hayes led off with a base hit. And then Machado came up to hit Manny, who'd been scuffling. Well, tonight he got some real good swings. Count 2-1. Here it comes. Manny fly ball, home run. Manny Machado, hasta la vista, baby. Long gone. Way back in the seats in left field. An instantaneous home run. Number 33, 2-0 Orioles. Yeah, there you go. After that, Scope popped out. And then Jones, he doubled. And so he was on base for Trey Mancini. Now the 0-1 pitch. Mancini lines the base hit to right center. Adam to third. Dickerson waving him in. Here comes the throw. It is cut off. Not even close. So Mancini drives in a run. He picks up his 78th RBI. 3-0 ball. And with that base hit, Mancini has now hit safely in 11 consecutive games. After that, well, it was all about Gabriel Inouye. Got him 1-2-3 in the second inning. And then in the third, he gave up a leadoff double to Miller. So he was in scoring position out there for Robertson.
And the 1-2 is lined into right field. There's a base hit. And the ball bobbled by Hayes and being sent as Miller. And Tampa Bay will get on the board as Miller scores.
So the run against Inouye, it was actually unearned because the official scorer ruled that, well, the base hit got the runner to third, and then the error charged to Hayes enabled that run to score. And that for Tampa Bay was the only run that they would get against Inouye, who got a big double play ball in the fourth inning. He did walk a batter in the fifth, but he got the three outs. In the sixth inning, he came back with a 1-2-3 on three ground ball outs. And then in the seventh inning, again, a 1-2-3.
And a squib towards the mound, and Noah over. He gloves it and then flips to Chris Davis and the out. So three up, three down. Go the Rays here in the seventh.
There you go. At that point, Inouye had retired 7 in a row and 12 out of 13 batters. He came out for the eighth inning. He got one out. And then Robertson with an infield dribbler for a single. That was the first hit Inouye had given up to Tampa Bay since way back in the third inning. After that, Smith into a force out, and then Duda came up to hit. And again, Inouye delivers. There's a pop-up. Should be caught. Here's Manny Machado. Left side, infield grass to make the catch. And how about Gabriel Inouye tonight, huh? In a starting capacity, he's gone 8 innings. He's allowed just one run, only 5 hits. Muy bueno, I would say yes, and I think you would concur. While Brad Brock eventually came out after Inouye had thrown 94 pitches, Buck Showalter went to the bullpen. Brock got the first two outs, but then he walked Steven Souza Jr. And then Dickerson was on base on an error. And suddenly, Tampa Bay had runners on first and third. They had tying runs on base with two outs. And that's when Kiermaier came off the bench as a pinch hitter. Brock again will set, and he will deliver. Kiermaier has the fly ball out toward left, and there's Mancini a little bit toward the corner. He's going to make the catch, and the ball game ends. And the Orioles are back in the win column as they beat Tampa Bay in the first of a four-game series. Hey, they got 3 runs in the first inning. They got nothing after that, but tonight that was good enough. It was good enough. Same two teams again tomorrow night. And Jim Hunter, he's got he might have Inouye. He's got Buck Showalter. He's got all the goodies when we continue with the postgame show right after this.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards, where the Orioles get a win after being swept by the Red Sox 3-1 in game one of this four-game series against Tampa Bay. So the Orioles snapped their 3-game losing streak and improved to 74-80 on the year. And 1-9 for Gabriel Inouye, who goes 8 strong innings to get the win. Following the game, Gabriel and his interpreter, Ramon Alarcon, met with Gary Thorne and Jim Palmer on Masson.
Ramon Alarcon will be our interpreter to the left. The great start on the right as Gabriel Inouye, just a great performance here. 8 innings, 1 unearned run, 5 hits. The most important thing that he got going in the ball game tonight was what?
¿Qué fue lo más importante en el juego de hoy para ti?
Bueno, estaba atacando la zona detrás, siempre cayendo arriba los bateadores. Y tratar de tener a mis rompientes que salgan detrás para de bola para que ellos puedan fallarlo.
I was attacking the strike zone, trying to get ahead of the count, trying to get ahead of the hitters. That was the most important thing for me today.
You know, I was talking to Mike Griffin, who was his pitching coach down at AAA, and he said as the AAA season progressed, he got more and more confident, great work ethic, et cetera, but again, does the confidence, the fact that he pitched so well down in AAA the last 4 or 5 starts, have something to do with the ability to pitch this well tonight?
¿Te ayudó esa confianza de cómo terminaste en las menores para traerla aquí y la forma como lanzaste en el día de hoy?
Sí, bueno, como te puedes fijar, después de la segunda mitad en Norfolk, yo he venido enfocado y siguiendo trabajando en mi comando, atacando mis bateadores y tratar de sacar los innings más poco picheado posible.
Yes, definitely the second half I feel more confident concentrating on attacking the zone, trying to get the hitters out as quickly as possible and helping my team.
What pitch are you working on right now more than any other to try and develop for next year?
¿Qué lanzamiento está tratando de trabajar en el día de hoy para tratar de desarrollarlo y que te pueda ayudar en el futuro?
Bueno, ahora mismo estoy trabajando en mi slider y mi curva también y mi cambio, pero mayormente localizar mi recta para después tirar mi breaking ball.
I'm working on my slider and my changeup, but the main key is commanding the fastball. If I'm able to command the fastball, I'll be able to work with my slider and my changeup.
Yeah, one question. 59 wins and only 30 losses in the Mets organization. And I was in Buck Showalter's office when he got traded, and he came in and he thanked him three times for being with the Orioles. Was he surprised? That's a great minor league record that he actually got traded right before spring training.
¿Te sentiste sorprendido de que los Mets te cambiaron después del récord que tú has tenido en la menores con ellos? ¿Te sentiste sorprendido por ese cambio?
Bueno, como te digo, cualquiera puede pensar que sí, pero ellos son los que tienen la decisión y gracias a Dios estamos aquí en el equipo.
Obviously, it's a team decision. It's really up to them, but I'm really thankful that I'm here with the Orioles.
All right, well, congratulations, Gabriel. That was a great win for you and a great performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim and Gary.
All right, so Ramon with Gabriel and Noah with Gary and Jim on Masson. As Noah, 8 outstanding innings. He's now 2-2. On the year, and the Orioles get a much-needed win to snap their 3-game losing streak. So the Orioles win it 3-1. They get the opener of this 4-game series with the Rays. Let's hear from the skipper now. Head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
Okay, what's up?
What was different about Enoa maybe than the first two starts? What were you seeing different?
Command was a lot better. Yeah, you get facing 5 left-hand hitters. He only threw, I think, 2 or 3 changeups. You know, it's unusual. It tells you what type of command of the two pitches he had, what job Cassie did with him. I think he good presentation, good rhythm to his outing. And, he got through the first inning, one by being quick enough to the plate that Cassie could throw the guy at third. That kind of changed a lot of things. Got a big double play ball, and John was in the right place a lot with balls that are normally base hits.
Obviously, runs have been hard to come by lately. I mean, how big is it for Manny to go out there and put you guys up just immediately? Like,
Manny's still not feeling well, I talked to him earlier. I said, I'm going to make 2 lineups out, and you let me know if he thought he might get feeling a little better as the day wore on. And I'm not so sure he did a whole lot, but it's another example of we got guys to post up. I hope everybody appreciates it. Until you got to go somewhere else and see how hard that is to do to fully appreciate it. I've seen it. So that was a day that tonight was a day he could have very easily, Becca wanted to play today too. But when blood was still flowing, it's kind of hard to do.
You're often saying how September is such a big fooler. When you're looking at are there different things that you're looking for so that you don't get fooled?
Well, so what do you want to do, pitch poorly and say, okay, that's an aberration, so he's going to be real good? No, this is the thing that makes you go, okay, can he continue to do that? So as opposed to what? Tease us, to show you that, against a major league team, he's shown it a couple of times. There are some guys that usually it happens sometime with hitters where they're a lot better in the big leagues than they are in the minor leagues. Sometimes their game plays better when guys are more aggressive or pitchers around the plate more as hitters. And I don't know. That's, the equation you got to figure out. And I mean, you can help me if you got a feel for it. So for that, he did his part and he'll get the ball again. See if it continues against another team.
It's obviously easier said than done, but that's what you guys have been preaching as far as, working fast, attacking the zone, and keeping your defense involved. And that's kind of the recipe right there.
Yeah, that's a team that I think is like 26th or 27th in time of game. In other words, they're deliberate with their at-bats. I mean, Morris and those guys, and they try to, I don't know if they try, but sometimes it can really get you out of rhythm. But it actually kind of fit in the rhythm that Gabe had. And Gabe's not – he made a great defensive play, really. Well, one of them that he had, we teach it to attack the ball. If Chris goes and gets that ball, it's a great decision by Chris to go to the bag, because if he goes and fills the ball, he's got nobody to give it to. So it's something that, I've seen Roger and Allen work on these plays too. I know these guys are sick of him, but, there's a lot of – and he turned one double play on the ball back to him, filled his position. He had one ball right up the chute that he was out of position on that he would have – but it was a good crisp defensive game for us. I'm not so sure. Did they stop the guy at third and then sent him after Austin bobbled the ball. But I tell you, the most helpless feeling, and we've all done it, is I looked up at the clouds right after the ball that that Trey couldn't see, and I know this is going to sound, yeah, right, the clouds were exact same color as the ball. I mean, it's that is a helpless feeling to stand out there. And, you know, now the sunset, I think it was at 7:03 or 7:04 today, and it's coming into play about game time. That is a helpless feeling where, think about it, there were more than one person didn't see the ball.
What is at this stage in the season, an 11-game hitting streak for Trey Mancini, say about how he's carried through, you know, the longest season he's ever played?
Trey's never given in to, okay, here, Trey's getting ready to maybe go to his experience level. He just doesn't. He doesn't give in. I tell the guys a lot of times about batting average and numbers. You know, when you're 0 for 3 and you punch in a 1 for 4, maybe a single to right with two strikes and the opposing team's fans on their feet on the road, and he's done that a lot. You know, he just, that's how you grind. You know, he doesn't waste at bats, and he's been a picture of consistency for us.
With Hayes, he has the error, obviously, but then he has two more hits tonight. I mean, is that just kind of part of the learning process for him?
I haven't, you know, someone asked me if the ball snaked or whatever. I thought he had a pretty good approach to it. We'll look at it. But, you know, when you've got as good an arm as he does, you're trying to, you know, you don't have to rush those things. You know, you can, they're not going to send him there. And, you know, those are things you learn that faster is not always better. Sometimes you got to slow the game down a little bit. Okay, that ball's hit real hard. If I catch this ball cleanly, he's not going to score. There's no reason to try to rush there. And that comes from knowing the runners a little bit more. You know, it's not like Kirpin called timeout and said, hey, he doesn't run. It's one of those things you talk about, which Wayne does with these guys endlessly before games start. But it's like I was talking to Austin today. There's a lot of things he's going to have to experience himself. I don't have a problem I have a problem with mistakes, but only if you repeat them. You know, little things that you do, you know, you got to file them away and develop that trust with your teammates and your coaches that, you know, you're going to know how to approach those things. This guy was at Jacksonville a year and a half ago. You guys got time to make what goes on at 10 o'clock.
The postgame comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles beat Tampa Bay 3-1. They get the opener of this three-game series.